bring forth your word, your truth, Lord, that sets us free. Lord, we thank you for healing and restoration of hearts and bodies and minds, Lord, as the word of God goes forward today, Lord, as he releases the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. And the church said, all right, come on down, Brother Dave.
Hallelujah. Now there's a lot of pressure to get you to come to the conference. I better be good. Amen. It's always a privilege to be here with you guys. I really don't take it for granted when I'm allowed to come and share and minister with you. You're one of my favorite places to be. Some of my favorite folks. Amen. You are. And I love getting down here and being around your pastors and some of that longevity to rub off on me too. Amen. I was thinking as Sister Cheryl was preaching here, I was thinking about Genesis chapter 12 and how the Lord spoke to Abram, remember? And he says, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, go from your relatives, from your father's house to the land which I will show to you. Come on. And didn't know where he was going to be going, but the Lord said, go. And so he went, and the Lord spoke to your leaders and said, go. And they said, where? And he said, I'll tell you later, go. Come on. And it'll be a revelation in progress, right? As you take one step, then he'll reveal a little bit more. Any of you old enough to remember those old triptych maps that we used to get from AAA or whatever? And you would do what? You'd follow the whole page down, and then you'd be, there's nothing. And then you have to flip the page over, and all of a sudden you'd see the whole next part of the journey. Amen. And that's kind of our walk of faith with God. We need to be obedient to what he says to us on the first page. And when we get down to the bottom of the page, don't freak out because you can't see where you're going. Flip the page. Flip the page over, and he'll show you where you're going to go, and you'll see kind of a direction you're heading, you know, and you make your way across the country that way. I used to use those all the time. This, for you young people, this is what we used to do before there were phones. We actually had to look at maps, and we had to use our brains to add things too, you know. Oh, anyway. Amen. Amen. So I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, and I will make of you a great nation. For you guys to grab onto that and understand. And through the years, if you were to add up all the hundreds of people that have been here and have been blessed and been ministered to and how they've been sent on out into this community, but even further into other states, this place, this house has been a household of blessing. This has been a gathering and a discipling and an empowering and then ascending and releasing. Amen? Amen. You have fruit that remains. Not just in this community, you're known throughout the community. Amen. For being willing to work with everybody who names the name of Jesus and being available for other churches to come on in. Amen. That's a testimony. You know, that's a powerful testimony. A lot of churches are not that way. It's us four and no more. Come on, but you're not that way. Your heart's open to everybody else. And so I applaud your pastors. Seriously, longevity, continuing to press on for the Lord in the face of seemingly obstacles at different times and physical obstacles, but then just things with the church and all that type of stuff. It's easy to give up. You know, one of the scariest scriptures in the Bible that I see at this later age, as I'm starting to mature, and I'll figure it out when I grow up, but as I'm getting older, one of the things I see in the scripture, one of the scariest things is where Paul says, lest I myself become a castaway. So Paul, who's written over half the New Testament, close to two-thirds of the New Testament, he's saying that I could even fall away. But I'm not going to because I choose to press forward, press on to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. No matter what the circumstance dictates. Come on. I choose to press forward, to press on. I still have a goal. And everybody understand that while there's breath, there's still hope. For you to achieve the goal and the gift and callings that God's placed upon your life. And according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, there are works that God created for you to do and for me to do. And he didn't just create them for you to do them, but then he enabled you and empowered you for you to do those things. But I found out in my life, you probably have two pastors, he doesn't actually give you the equipment to do it until you take the step to start to do it.
So true.
If we sit back and wait until we're totally prepared, guess what? Life's gone. You ever talk to young couples who are like, oh, we're going to have kids till we're about 35 because then we'll be financially set off. How's that work for you? You know, it doesn't work. You don't have the provision for the kids until you start popping them out. Come on, once you start having the kids, then the provision starts coming on in. If you save up your whole life, you won't have any kids. Okay, come on. So you've been a testimony and a witness, not just in this community, but all throughout Michiana. How's that for a fancy word? Amen. So I just applaud you And then look what the scripture says. The Lord is speaking. Now we're going to apply it to us here in this house right now. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. That's already been accomplished. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse you. And in you, come on, River of Life, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. You guys, how many of you have been to the mission field? Some of you gone with trips out through here. You guys had mission field here not too long ago. You did outreach and you got a lot of people saved and got them water baptized. Come on, this is the mission field for you. Whether you leave this country or not, there is a mission field here. In fact, Americans have been so lazy for so many years, the Lord's bringing everybody here to get saved because we're not going there to get them saved anymore. Come on. He's bringing people here to witness to us now that we'd get right with God. Okay, so you have your Bible there. And I'm excited about the fact that this year you are focusing on the impossible. Faith to believe for the impossible. I like that song by C.C. Winans that was playing a little bit earlier. We believe for it. We're believing and standing and we're pressing forward for what God has for us. Have faith in God. It says over in Mark 11:22, one of your verses for this year. Have faith in God. And we may develop this a little bit later. Some of the translations say, have the faith of God. How can I have the faith of God? Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. He lives on the inside of us, so many times it's His faith in us manifesting through us. Oh, I just feel faithless. Increase my faith, Lord. Get closer to Him and your faith is automatically increased. The more time I spend with you, the more I can start to believe your words, right? The more I can begin to trust you. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more time we spend listening to His words, the more faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, the Rhema Word of God, that which is Logos, which is then spoken on out, which is heard and believed and then spoken and then acted on. Come on, one more time. You hear it, you believe it, you speak it, and you act on it. You don't speak it to believe it. You hear it and you spend time in prayer. You spend time with the Father God. You spend time listening to Jesus. You spend time hearing preachers. It'll stir your faith, right? You hear it, you believe it, then you speak it, and then you act on it because you already have it. I remember Pastor Youngi Cho, the world's largest church, you know, 500,000 people over in South Korea. Years ago, I remember hearing him, and he was talking, and he was saying, you Americans have it backwards. You think that if you just speak something, you'll eventually believe it. Well, there is a truth to that, but he says, no, what you need to do is get the scriptures and go to prayer over that scripture until that scripture comes alive in your heart because it's a seed. It's on the inside of you. And he says, you must become pregnant with the word. You must become pregnant. See, you have to have the word on the inside of you for God to use it so it can develop and grow and manifest through you. Amen. That's all good. That's not really in my notes, but it's still good anyway. All right, so with men, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are... Everybody say, with God. With God. With God, all things are possible. Even seemingly insurmountable situations in the natural circumstances. With God, all things are possible. Now, I asked them to put up some scriptures here. Matthew 24, I just want to deal with the times that we're living in here for a couple of minutes. And I'm, you know... We've had thousands of books written on the second coming of Christ and the rapture of the church. Is there one? Isn't there one? Is it at the beginning of the tribulation? Is it in the middle of the tribulation? At the end of the tribulation? I like what Bishop Hammond says. He says, some of you believe that you're going to be raptured out at the beginning of the tribulation. You go up to heaven for a multi-course meal and 7 years of a meal. And he says, and some of you, you believe you're going to be here and tribulate for half of the tribulation period. You're going to shoot up at about 3.5 years and you'll get a light lunch. And then you'll come back with Jesus. And he said, but some of you want to tribulate and you want to go through the whole tribulation and you'll be caught up in the air and I guess you'll grab a snack on your way back down with Jesus. And he said, it'll all pan out in the end, which has been my theology on the whole thing anyway. There is a literal second coming of Jesus Christ, and we can all agree, all denominations that name the name of Jesus as salvation and Savior can believe and receive that there is a second coming. I'm not going to argue with you over tribulation. If you want to tribulate 7 years, you go right ahead. If you want to tribulate 3.5 years, tribulate. If you're not going to tribulate at all because there isn't even a rapture, but there's still a second coming, that's fine. Do you name the name of Jesus? Is He your Lord and Savior? If we truly believe that we were going to be raptured out because we're looking over to Israel and we're seeing what's happening right now on the planet, if we thought it was going to happen today, we would not be in this building. Hopefully you'd be so provoked, you'd be on the phone, you'd be banging doors down of your relatives saying, today, today, He's coming today. You need to get right with Christ today. This is the day of salvation. And for, I don't know, 40, 50,000 young people are dying around the planet every month of malnutrition. I mean, just just because of hunger. People are dying. For them, that is their day of judgment in this natural life. People are dying without Christ every single day, and we're getting our eyes off on here. Is he coming today? Is he coming next year? I love what my grandma told me before she passed away in the early 80s. I guess it was 1980. And we were talking one time about the rapture of the church, and I was telling her how that we'd gone through the scriptures, and we had figured out that Jesus was coming back in 1980. We'd had it all figured out. I was at college. And we had it all figured out. He was coming April 1st, 1980, because we listened to some guy called The Midnight Cry, and he did an hour and a half teaching that got us right down to 1980. For some reason, we had it figured out, right? Well, seven-year tribulation subtracted from 48, Israel becomes a nation, recognized 88, subtract seven in some years, and so you end up with 1980. We had a rapture party the night before. Jesus did not show up on that particular day. I might have told you my story. I have a little sense of humor. Kind of a Britishism sense of humor. And I remember that we had a rapture party with a bunch of friends from the Christian Musicians Fellowship there at Western Michigan University. And on the next day, we had classes. Jesus hadn't shown up. And all my roommates had gone off to school except one. And so he went down to get the mail. And while he went down to get the mail, I was laying on the floor listening to records. Those were those things that used to be big CDs for you young people. Made out of plastic. You know, records. Vinyl. Now you know what I'm talking about. And I was listening to it, had headphones on, laying on the floor. He walked by my room, saw me laying there. I had my hand all covering my eyes and headphones sitting here. And when he went down to get the mail, I quickly shucked out of my clothes and laid my clothes there in my room by the stereo with the sleeve of the shirt hanging over like this and the headphones still there and the music still playing and my trousers and my shoes and socks laying there. And I quickly climbed underneath the bed. And he came back on in from going down the mail, and he walked on to Dave, got a couple letters here, Dave! He freaked out because he'd only been saved for a short while. And he needed to freak out. He was United Methodist. He hadn't really named the name of Jesus yet at that point, and so he needed to freak out. But he thought he got left behind. So we made sure he was saved, and he got spirit-filled later on, and actually went off to ministry school. So, you know. But that's my humor anyway, so you can laugh with me about it. That, you know. Then I started laughing under the bed, and he saw the bed shaking. But how could you do that to me? Well, it seemed funny at the time. But, you know, we've set these dates, and it's interesting that Jesus himself says, no man knows the day and the hour, including me, Jesus. The Father sets the day and the hour. Now, can we apprise the times that we're in? Yes. And we look around and we see, hey, it could be World War III. It could be. But you know what? Even if it was World War III and we don't have a rapture, I still know where I'm going. How about you? Come on, if an atomic bomb dropped off today, would you know where you would be? Come on, if a terrorist came on in and made it past Pastor Vanessa and she didn't shoot him before they didn't get to it. I don't know if she carries or not. Don't be worried. I don't know. But if they made it on in here and they started shooting us, you know what? According to Romans 14:8, to live is Christ, to die is Christ, whether I live or whether I die is Christ. It's God. So they're sending me to my reward a little bit early. Right? So we need not fear when we see these things. Okay, got your Bible there? Matthew chapter 24. And let's just jump down here. Let's go to verse 2. And he says to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down. He's talking about the temple. But he's really prophesying about his body and how the temple's going to be torn down. His body's going to be torn down, but it's going to be raised up later on. But he's talking then on the Mount of Olives, and they're saying, what's the sign of your second coming, Jesus, and of the end of the age? And Jesus answers them in verse 4. See that no one misleads you. Warning, warning. There are people out there who will mislead you. They might be good intentioned. They want to help you prepare. But I'm telling you, it's really not good preparation to be, you know, building a Frady hole in your backyard and putting, you know, 10 years or 7 years of food down in your basement and stocking up on ammo so you can shoot your hungry neighbors when they come on over begging you for food. Come on, that's not biblical. Come on. No, more biblical is the prophet where the raven brought him food every day. Hello? Anyway. Come on, what kind of testimony are we setting for our neighborhood when we're in fear all the time about stuff, right? Do you know where you're going when you die? Come on, do you know? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and loving their lives not considering their lives even to the death, willing to be martyred. If you're at that place, and I'm not saying I'm at that place every single day, but if we're at that place where we're not afraid of dying, then what can the world do to us? Come on, they can't do anything to us because they're sending us to our reward a little bit early. But isn't that our goal, to get to Jesus? Now you young people say, yes, after I'm married and have three or four kids, and you know, and that's all fine, you know. So my grandma, I remember I was telling you that story earlier about her, and so we were talking one time about the rapture of the church in 1980, and we tracked it all down. She says, she just kind of smiled. She said, you know, David, we knew that Hitler was the Antichrist. And we knew that the mark of the beast was Social Security number. Because you couldn't buy and sell with that one. Right? You understand? Every generation thinks they're the last generation. That can be good if it propels you to do something for the kingdom. And as we look around the planet today, there are many, many, many young people that are getting hungry, getting back into the book of Revelation. There's many movies talking about it. There's a movie just released this last week about life after death. Come on, there's all sorts of things that are happening around the planet right now, and it's causing people to look on the inside, but also to look up to see, is there something more than just me and just this life? All right, so Jesus says here, let no one deceive you, let no one mislead you, saying, I am the Christ. They will mislead how many of you? Many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. Wow. Jesus, I'm scared. You know what happens if I ran this and I ran that and this and happens and that one and Gog and Magog and China and Russia get together and they come on down to Jerusalem and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, why are you worrying about that? Worry about your own soul and leading your family and friends to Christ. Don't get caught up in all of this speculation. Are we supposed to pray for them over there? Yes. You know, there are Palestinian Christians that are suffering right now. Yes, so we pray for the Palestinian Christians. We pray for the Messianic Jews. We pray for that whole situation over there. Amen. It's a mess. Let me say a mess. It didn't catch Jesus off guard. Look what it says. For nation will rise against nation. Let's go back one more. It says, you will not be frightened, for these things must take place. What? Must be taken place, but that is not yet the end. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations because of my name. Many will fall away, many will betray and hate one another. False prophets will rise and mislead many. All this stuff, we could make a case umpteen times through history that this has already taken place many, many times. Everybody understand that? I still remember Corrie Ten Boom when she came back from visiting the underground church in China. She'd run into a Chinese pastor who had been in prison for 40 years or whatever it was. And he said to her, please, when you go back to the West, tell them to get their eyes off from a rapture and get their eyes on dying humanity down here. The Western church had come in and taught them that God loves the people so much that he would never let them suffer anything. And so when communism began to take over in China, they sat back because we're not going to touch politics. You know, we have nothing to do with that. We're separate from the world. And then they were persecuted and they were imprisoned and many died. And he said, go back and tell them not to get their eyes on the sky other than we anticipate Christ coming back. You don't live your life waiting for him to show up to rapture you out to escape. I don't know why I'm on the rapture. I'm sorry. Did you just teach on the rapture? Am I setting everybody straight right now? Is that what's going on? I'm just trying to get us to see the scripture on here. Don't get sidetracked. Amen. There's a whole lot more scriptures about going into all the world and preaching the gospel than there are about getting caught up about the rapture. Come on. Amen. Let's do the things that Jesus said. Okay, and so it says, they'll deliver you, there'll be hatred. You know, he said, in this life you will, not you might, have what? Tribulation. Thanks, Jesus. Woohoo! Who wants to get saved now? Here's a little secret. You were already having tribulation before you got saved? Come on. The difference is, before you got saved and you were having tribulation, you were headed to hell? Hello? Now you have tribulation, you have someone who can be in the boat with you, going through it, getting you through it, giving you peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the tribulation. And he says, but be of good cheer. Be cheerful because I have overcome the world. And we are in Christ. Christ is in us. Amen. So by inferation there, according to the logic, he says, I have overcome the world. If we are in Christ, then we have overcome the world. We sang that song this morning. Death could not hold you down. A couple times I've sung that out prophetically. Death could not hold me down. Death will not hold me down. You understand? Because I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. Okay. This is not even the message for this morning, but apparently part of it is. It's fast becoming that. And he says, many will hate one another. False prophets will rise up, mislead many. We're in the midst of that. It's but the beginning of birth pangs. So do not allow your mind to get all freaked out. Don't be spending all your time watching television to see if Israel's gone into Gaza right now. What's going to happen there? Yes, war is awful. Yes, it shouldn't happen. But you know what? It will continue to happen over and over and over again as long as there are people who are ungodly who get a little bit of power and want to lord it over each other. This is just the sign of the times. There will always be these things. We pray for them in the midst of this, and we pray that it doesn't happen here. Amen? But if it did, we know where we're going. We're secure in Christ. Say, I'm secure in Christ. Now, if you were right there in Matthew, why don't you flip on over to Luke chapter 8 for a second. I think I gave that to you guys back there. Let's just look at Luke 8. And I'm supposed to be teaching on manifesting the kingdom of God. Having the faith of God. Manifesting the kingdom of God. But we're getting there. Look it over at Luke chapter 8. And let's just drop down to, this is the parable of the sower. Everybody familiar with the story? We also see it over in the book of Mark chapter 4. It's the parable of the sower. He goes out, he sows some of the word. He sows out the seed, right? Look at verse 5. Mark 8, 5. It says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil. As soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell in among the good soil, grew up, produced a crop 100 times greater. He who has ears, hear. And then they say to him, hey, what'd you just say, Jesus? Go on, what'd you say? Explain it to us. They got to side with him, and then he begins to explain. And look at what he says if you go a little bit further. Verse 14, the seed which fell among the thorns are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And if you go back to verse 13, those that were sown among the rocky soil, what happens there? They receive the word with joy, but they have no firm root, and they believe for a while, and then in the time of trial or temptation, they fall away. See, the enemy, we have an enemy, the devil. He always is out to try and destroy us. He can't stop you from becoming a Christian, so therefore he will try to stop you from being a producing Christian. Everybody understand? He couldn't stop you from getting saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And if you are smart, you'll wise up and you'll confess Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you won't die and go to hell. You won't spend an eternity separated from God if you wise up, right? Be wise. Scripture tells us in the Psalms, it's the fool who has said in his heart, there's no God. And actually, I've been taught by some Hebrew scholars, it's the fool has said in his heart, no God, as in no to God. Not that there's no God and I'm agnostic atheist, but as in, I know there's a God and no God, I'm not going to submit to you. So he says here, we're going to have this kind of tribulation. We're going to have all these different things that are going to press in around about us. And so he tells us to be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. He said not to be surprised about all of this stuff. So in the middle of what we're in right now, and we're looking at all the signs of the times that are around about us, what should we do? Number one, we need to keep our mind on Christ, not on the times. Hello? Come on. Hello? 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 Keep your mind on Jesus in the middle of these times. You remember even Peter when he's walking on the water, when his focus is solely on Jesus, he's doing something he can't do in the natural. He's supernaturally walking on water. As long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus, he could do what he asked Jesus to tell him to do. If that's you, Jesus, call me, bid me to come out of the boat. And Jesus says, come on, Peter. Peter says, okay, I'm coming. And as long as his gaze was focused on Jesus, he was walking on the water. Come on. But what happened? The wind and the waves are going and crashing all around him. And the moment he took his eyes off Jesus and began to focus on the situation and circumstances, he began to sink. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus in the midst of the storm. Stand your ground on God's word. Second thing we need to do in this time of this evil day that we're in right now, Scripture just talks about it being an evil day. It's going to be an evil. Let me just put our minds at rest. It will always be an evil day until Jesus comes back and the kingdom of God that's within us becomes manifested on this planet and Jesus is reigning on this planet. There will always be evil days. There will always be evil people. There will always be problems until the Prince of Peace comes back and establishes peace on this planet. He's trying to do it through you and I right now. The kingdom of God is within us. So wherever we go, we are taking the kingdom. A little bit of my portion of the kingdom, your portion of the kingdom. We get into a place, we're bringing more of the kingdom there. And the kingdom of darkness flees because we're bringing the kingdom of light there. And so we need to stand our ground upon the scripture. Stand our ground. Say, stand your ground. Keep your mind on Christ. Stand your ground. Okay, we're running out of time. So flip over and we'll see if you remember anything that I taught you 3-4 months ago. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. This is your quiz time. We'll see if you pass. No smiles. You guys have heard me before. Hardly heard any amens. And I, you know, usually do the joke about if the more amens, the faster I go, the quicker you get out to eat. But evidently you want to hang around today. Tough crowd, Pastor. I know. It was tough for me to get up this morning. I'm like, what happened? It was 80 degrees 2 days ago. 3 days ago. What happened? Winter's here. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. Don't have time to go through all the different scriptures here and build up to this. So let's just look at this final part here of Ephesians chapter 6. Don't have time to build it. If you want to get a little more context of it, go back and listen to whenever I preached here last time. One of the times I shared on Ephesians 6. So look at here, and I'm sure your pastors have taught on the armor of God, so we're not going to teach about that aspect of it. But look at verse 10. Finally. Let me say finally. Be strong in the... Okay, so here's quiz number one. What's he telling us to do? Be strong in the... And in the power of... His might. All right, one more time. Finally. One more time, and you'll pass with a B plus maybe. Ready? Finally, in the Lord, in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of might. How do we get our strength in the Lord? How do we exchange our strength with His? You got to spend time with Him. You got to spend time with Him. That's the only way. It's the only way. You know, I tried in my youth, you know, putting my Bible under my pillow. It didn't do anything for me, but give me a crick in my neck. Come on, you don't get it by osmosis. You don't become a strong Christian just because you're hanging on to grandma's, you know, apron. Thank you. Help me preach. Just because you're doing that doesn't, you know, guarantee you a seat at the table in heaven. Come on, you got to make your own. You got to have your own relationship with Jesus yourself. Finally, be strong in the power of. And then it goes on. It says, put on the full armor of God. Who does the putting on? We put on the armor of God, just like you, most of you. Dressed yourself this morning, and you put on your own clothes, right? You might have chosen. You know, maybe you needed help, like the old Granimals. Remember those matching things that you had for little kids, you know, to match them. You know, and now that Granimal is going out to your wife, and she goes, "Uh-uh, go back and try again," right? You put on your clothes. You put on Christ. Come on, you put on the armor of God so that you would be able to. Stand firm, stand your ground, stand on God's word. Stand firm against the schemes of the wiles of the devil, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. See, we need to understand this. We're looking over at the Middle East and oh my God, can you believe people are that barbaric? Yes, when you're demon-possessed, hopped up on amphetamines, and you have no reverence for life. Yes, people are like that. I don't know if you've ever met people like that. They are what we would call in our society sociopaths or whatever. They give themselves over to this lust and they go out and they do unspeakable things. They also give themselves over to spirits. That's not an excuse for them because they start out in the natural getting themselves hyped up like this. And then they give themselves over to demon spirits and they go out and do these atrocities. And it should not shock us. This is the world. We're living in a spiritual world. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's on the inside of us, and we need to get it to manifest around us, in our community, in our families, come on, in our work situations. We need the kingdom of God to manifest wherever we are. And he says, our struggle's not against flesh and blood, even though it may feel like you're fighting a physical person at times. It says, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I heard Brother Leon make a comment last night. I don't know if you heard that at all. But he said, and I'm pretty convinced that about 6 inches off the ground is where the second heaven starts. Because of all the warfare that goes on right here. You're having to fight. It's not the second heaven is way up there somewhere. It's all around us. There are demon spirits around us. But what? Don't be afraid of that. Greater is he. I remember talking to people years ago, and well, this friend I was telling you about that I did my rapture trick on, joke on him. I remember he started moving in discerning of spirits. He was seeing demonic spirits and angels, but demonic spirits. He's freaking out about it. I'm like, give it to me, God. I don't have any fear about that. I knew there were demon spirits, but it was through word of knowledge. He's seeing it with discerning of spirits. I'm like, that's not fair. I want to see that. He goes, that takes less faith then, because you're seeing it. Everybody understand? Rather than sensing and knowing it. Either way, you can cast them out. Hello? Right? Because we are not in a physical battle, but a spiritual battle that can sometimes bleed over into the natural, into the physical. Spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, and when you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. Come on. When you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. Therefore, do what? Take up the full armor. Again, first he says, put on the armor. Now he says, take up the armor of God that you would be able to resist in the evil day. Are we in the evil day or what? That you would be able, and it just seems to be getting evil and evil and evil. But, you know, we have that promise in Isaiah. He says, though gross darkness cover the earth, the Lord's glory will rise up and will cover the planet like the waters cover the planet, right? His glory. And you know how that happens? The more people that get saved, the more the kingdom of God is manifested here on this planet, the more His glory is being revealed around the planet through us. Amen? I remember years ago when people were teaching on finances and they were like, you know, just believe the Lord to do this and bring money into your bank account. And I'm like, the easiest, you know, the scripture, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, right? The righteous, you know that one? And so people were teaching it, you know, yeah, I just believe that God will cause that teller at the bank to change one number and put that $1,000 over into my account. No, no, no. Everybody say no. No, no. The way the wealth of this, or, you know, you get something in the mail. Now you can't trust it because there are a lot of them are scams. If you sign the check, you're losing money yourself. But anyway, the way the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous and the just is get all the sinners saved. And they come into the kingdom of God. And then their finances come in. The wealth of the sinner is saved up for the righteous and the just. And then they bring their money in. And it's used for the kingdom. Everybody understand? Anyway, the other way is a little self-serving. Well, I've been around. I remember being in Peru and seeing some people walk over to a car. We claim this car in Jesus' name. It's our car. We believe it's our car. You said we could have whatsoever we say. We speak. This car is ours. I'm like, somebody has a mortgage or has a loan on that car. It's in their name. What are you doing? Yeah. I can have whatever I want. Read the context. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. To consume it on your lusts. All right, anyway. Isn't it awful that the scripture always corrects our theology? Changes our things that we cater to our flesh? All right, anyway. So it says here, stand firm, therefore. Stand firm. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. You would be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand. Stand firm, therefore. So back to the quiz from a couple months ago. Be strong in the... In the power of stand firm, therefore. What are we standing? We're standing in His armor. We're standing in His righteousness. We're standing in His holiness. We're standing in His purity. Come on, the righteousness has been accounted unto us. We're standing in Christ. So that when the enemy comes against us, he doesn't just see us, he sees Christ in you, on you, through you, the hope of glory. Christ, the hope of glory. Amen. I really did have a lot of good stuff. Do everybody hear that? I'm a holder to it. She said I could come back. Amen. So, well, okay, you didn't have to clap for me coming back. But if you want to, go ahead. Make me feel. No. You weren't laughing at any of my jokes, so go ahead. Be strong in the power of? How are we going to be strong in the Lord? Put on the armor of God, but know His Word. This is how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing by the? Not just the Word. The rhema spoken Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. This is why I'm still an advocate. Get your Bible out and read it out loud to yourself. Amen. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So we stand strong. We don't be worried about the times that are around us. In the last days, there will be all these things. Guess what? It's been going on for 2,000 years. And it's going to continue to go on until the Prince of Peace comes back in the second coming and establishes His rule and reign on this planet, which He's trying to do right now through you and I. And there's a semblance of it happening. Part of it's this house right here, in this neighborhood right here. The glory of the Lord is being manifested in this place. Amen. And not just on Sunday mornings for a couple hours, but during the week, because you guys are a covenantal people joined together with and around these leaders to see God's kingdom established in this place. Amen? Amen? And so we continue to stand, having done all to stand, stand, therefore. Oh, he's starting to open the book back up. What does that mean? It means this. Two things, two final thoughts. We have to believe, I said it earlier, believe the Word. How do you do it? You got to study it. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time with the author. Believe it. Say it. Speak it out. And that is the end of the matter. That's faith. Faith is you speak it out, you believe it, and then you're not speaking it to try and get yourself to believe. You believe, and then you speak, and then you have. Or another way to think about it is, I already have all things pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. I already have everything according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. In Christ Jesus, I already have it. So I begin to speak out what I have. What do I have? I have my healing. What do I have? I have deliverance. What do I have? I have provision. I have all things for life and godliness, godly living, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. The Word has to become the final authority in our lives. The Word says it. I believe it. That settles it. No, actually, we used to say that. The Word says it. I believe it. That settles it. No, the Word says it. That settles it. Come on. I now believe it and act on it. You understand the other one? The Word says, I believe it, so therefore it's settled. No, no. That may be in your personal experience, but the Word says it. That settles it. Now conform to the Word, join with the Word, believe it, and act on it. Amen. So the Word has to be the final authority. Honor the Word over any other voice. Make all your decisions in life based upon the scriptural principles of the Word. Live your life according to the Word. If He says go, go, like the Lord spoke to them and said, go, start a house, start a ministry, do this, go out someplace where you've not ever been before. And then you have to choose, just like Joshua 24, make a choice this day. Choose who you're going to serve. We have to choose. I know what the Scripture says. Am I going to believe it and act on it? Or am I going to say, that doesn't work for me? Come on, this is faith. This is what we're talking about this year. Faith. Believing before you even see it. Because this says it's there. Everybody understand? Okay. That would be sermon number 4 or 5, right, at this point. So let's slow down for a second here. And let's just say, is there anybody in this place or underneath the sound of my voice who've never come to know the Savior Jesus Christ? You've never come to know and accept His saving grace. Scripture tells us that every one of us, every single one of us, has been born in sin. Come on, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But yet, the Scripture tells us in the book of Romans that while we were still sinners, while we were still living in our lifestyle, even if it was a seemingly righteous lifestyle, we still on the inside had all kinds of corruption. And the Scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even before we accepted Him, He died for us. He came and took our place upon the tree. He took your judgment and my judgment upon the cross so that we don't have to face that judgment. Yeah, but there's a judgment in the Bible. I hear about this throne judgment. Yes, you know what that? That's to see what you did with what He gave you. And its rewards. Some people will, get a gold star, and some people will get the Cadillac, whatever. I don't know what up in heaven. But it's about rewards, what you did with what He gave you. For the Christian, it's not that you're going to be, says, well, what about wood, hay, and stubble burning? Yes. Everything you did for yourself, I did for myself, all that will just pale, it'll burn up, and it'll be gone. But you know what? I'll still be saved. Hello? I'll still be in heaven. So yeah, there is a judgment or an evaluation at that point, but that's not the judgment we're talking about. If you don't know Christ, you've not accepted Him in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, then the Scripture tells us you face a Christless, an eternity away from God. Amen? But Christ came while we were still sinners and died for us. So if you're not right with Jesus Christ, you can be right today. What's the Scripture say? Repent, turn, and be baptized. Turn your eyes to Him, that if you will confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. He's the Son of God. If you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, belief is made, right? But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You say, Jesus, come into my heart. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to spend eternity away from God. I never even heard about this stuff before. I know my life's not completely perfect, and I know I need something, and He's saying, I'm it. Jesus is saying, confess me as Lord and Savior, and I will fill you. You'll be changed from the inside out. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. Anybody testify to that new coming? It's come on into your life? Yeah, you may still go through trials. Anybody still go through trials, tribulations in your life? You ever gone through a hard time even after you were a Christian? What'd you do? Did you say, forget that religion stuff? No, you said that. Said, thank you, Jesus, you're with me in the middle of this storm. Thank you, Jesus, you're in the boat when the wind and the waves are crashing against me. Thank you, Lord. So call upon the Lord. This is the day and the hour when you can do that. Don't be waiting until your head's on the chopping block. Don't be waiting. Some of us are just so obstinate, we're going to be like the prodigal son and got to be in the pig pen down there in the pigsty and before we come to our senses. Don't wait that long. You don't have to go that far. Christ died for you. Come to Him. Amen? And if you're not walking right with Jesus, today's the day. It says today is the day of salvation. If you'll hear Him, today is the day of salvation. Come back to Him. His arms are still open. Isn't that a wonderful story about the prodigal son's father? How that when he saw his son, it says daily he's looking for him to return. See, the Heavenly Father knows and hopes and believes that you and I would come back to Him. And when we come back to Him, He's not like some church folk or some of your religious relatives. Yeah, where you been? You smell like the pigs. No, come on. God's not that way. He ran right up to the smelly, pig pen smelling guy. Come on, these are Jews. Have nothing to do with pork. And He runs up to him and He puts His arms around him. He was looking for him to return every day. Are you looking for your relatives to come to Christ? Have we given up on some of them because they're just so tough? And I'm preaching it myself when I'm pointing at you like this. I got Father, Son, Holy Spirit pointing back at me. Right? Do we understand that God's arm has not been shortened? His grace is still extended towards them. Pray for them. Ask God to give you His heart for them. And the Father God's arms surround them and He receives them back. He's been looking for someone to put the robe back on. He's been looking for someone to put the ring on their finger and to give them new sandals and to have a party. Come on. And you may be that someone. So if you need to get right with Christ, today is the day. Today is the day. So as we're singing this song later, when they have the prayer teams up here, come on up and say, I need to get right with Christ. I need to give my heart back over to Him. Or I've never accepted Jesus in my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. And I just prayed that prayer because that guy said to do it. Okay, come on down to the front and we will pray with you and instruct you in the way that you should walk in Christ. Amen? Is that okay? And if you need physical healing, there's going to be a team up here to pray for you. So we're going to do that here in a moment. We're about to take communion. You know you can be healed in the midst of communion. Anybody ever been healed during communion, physically? Three of us? Did you guys not know that that's one of the promises through communion? It says that when you break that bread, Jesus did it at the table, and actually they would pray an old Jewish prayer as they were doing Passover and breaking the bread, which would say, the prayer was, Blessed art thou, Lord God, that brings forth bread out of the ground. Jesus was prophesying His own resurrection there at the Last Supper. And by His stripes, we are healed. And when you partake of that bread, physical healing can happen in your body. Amen. And we're already forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. And if you need to get right with Him, you need doing things you shouldn't be doing, then confess it to Him. All right, I took somebody's sermon that was going to teach on the communion. But, amen. Having done all to... Oh my goodness, I have to turn in your Bible. No. Having done all to stand, therefore. Be strong in the power of... Come on, put on the armor of God, having done all to stand therefore against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. Amen. All right, sorry, went over.
Thank you, Lord, for Brother Dave and the word that came forth. And we're going to get ready to receive an offering this morning. And we always bring our offerings to the Lord. We're presenting them to the Lord. And what comes in, we are going to sow into Brother Harris's life. And we just thank God for him. I hope you enjoyed that word. You can tell he's a teacher. I thought you were back there clapping for yourself. He receives that he is a teacher. Yes, and he will give you a little test. Did you notice? To see if we remember what he's been sharing. So, well, let's all stand. And if you have your checks ready, we're going to ask an usher if they'll come forward and hold the basket. And while you're bringing that, we'll ask the elders to get ready to receive communion. So, Father, we just thank you for Brother Dave. We thank you for the word that's gone forward. We thank you, Lord, that your word is quick and powerful like a two-edged sword. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you continue, Lord, to minister to us, Lord, and continue to cause this word to come into full fruition in our lives and revelation and understanding. Thank you, God, for your word. And, Lord, bless Brother Dave, Lord, as he goes here and there. And bless him, Lord God, at his conference. Lord, as he brings forth your message for leaders. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.